Bonsoir. How are you, dear friends? We are building the most inspiring and phenomenal communities of wine lovers. As we all know, wine is the catalyst of the greatest discussion. We'll be talking wine, but of course food, and everything that touches all our nation and senses. Bonjour, bonsoir, dear friends. Welcome to JCB Live, another incredible happy hour with a great chef. Yes, one of the top 8 Iron Chef in the history of the United States. He's amazing, bilingual, bicultural, born of Ecuadorian parents in the United States, trained all over the world, recently sold his fabulous chains of restaurant, and now he's going to be teaching online. He's a serial entrepreneur and a James Beard Award winner. Can you believe 3 years in a row? Quite fabulous. He's going to be joining us today from his wonderful home. He has a 40-acre estate farm that really grows organically and biodynamically. And on top of everything else, he's written several cookbooks. Dear friends, welcome to José Garcés. Buenos dias, José.
Buenos dias. Wow. What an amazing. Oh, hey.
I make sure that this is an explosion, because when we bring such a talent as you, we're going to create the effect, you know, the volcano of love and passion.
Fantastic. Cheers. Love it. Cheers.
Well, it's a great honor, Jose, to, you know, have one such a guest, such a chef, and as well, such an incredible entrepreneur. So maybe the first question, how did you get the love of cooking?
Oh, the love of cooking really came at an early age. My mom and my grandma from Ecuador, who would visit us. I grew up in Chicago. And my grandma would visit us most summers. And this lady was an amazing cook. She cooked every day, a couple meals a day. And we had a farm in Ecuador. So she was really into ingredients and the soil and where food comes from. And so from an early age, I was getting those lessons in flavor, in seasoning, in the use of herbs. And so it really started, you know, probably when I was like 5 or 6, I was already by her side picking cilantro, helping her make arepas, really anything. And it was just, I just gravitated towards the kitchen.
It's amazing how much grandparents can influence us, isn't it?
It really is. I think, you know, at an early age, so maybe inside we're looking at that generational gap. And really feeling like, wow, you know, these folks have lived, and it's a, you know, a great wealth of knowledge that we can acquire for them. So yeah, they were, and I also think grandparents maybe are a little bit more removed from the data. They're also a little more in sync with children. So yeah, I look forward to that at some point too.
Well, you have plenty of time. Remember, you're younger than I am, so you have kids, right?
Yeah.
How old are yours?
Yeah, I have a 17-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son. So yeah, I have time. I want to wait a little bit for sure.
Well, although you started earlier than me, because my ladies are 9 years old. So, you know.
Oh, wow. Hey.
You were much smarter than I was.
Well, I'm sure you took your time for a reason and you know, did what you had to do during those years.
So you've been an Iron Chef winner, one of 8 in the United States. How does it feel and how does that come about?
Wow. Well, Iron Chef was such an amazing part of my career and my journey. In 2007, I competed against Iron Chef Bobby Flay as a competitor, yeah. Right? So brought me in and I competed and I beat Bobby. And that was, you know, a really great moment. And then in 2009, Food Network brought me back to compete against 9 other chefs from throughout the country in a 10-week battle that culminated in a few finales in Tokyo and one in New York, with only one outcome, the next Iron Chef, which I happened to win in 2009. Yeah, so it was fantastic. And so then got several battles in Kitchen Stadium after that as an Iron Chef.
Wow, congratulations. So what is the key dish that really allowed you to win?
Well, actually, I was in a double elimination match, which meant there were 6 chefs and only 3 were going to Tokyo. And it was Battle of Indian Cuisine. And I had not really ever cooked Indian cuisine. I enjoyed it, but I didn't cook it. And about 45 minutes into the battle, with 15 minutes left, I cut my finger.
Ooh.
And there was, let me just say, a fair amount of blood.
In the sauce, I hope.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That can only improve it. Why just the animal and not the human?
That's right. So quickly patched it up, kept my calm, and somehow ended up winning that battle, which, again, was the moment, I think, that propelled my confidence to go on and win the competition ultimately. But it was a moment of doubt and fear and, you know, really, you know, not knowing. And I think coming out of it really, really propelled me.
Well, I think you giving a great advice to everyone listening today, you know, a moment of fear. So how did you win over? By calmness? What else did you do in your mind to win over and to eventually win the contest?
You know, Jean-Charles, really the staying calm and staying level-headed in the face of adversity. And because, you know, even during that time, I had things on the stove, I had things in the oven that still needed to be tended to and fixed and adjusted. And I just kept a certain sense of evenness and also confidence that, you know, no matter what, the outcome was going to be positive. So, yeah, I think it's just really keeping that sense of calm.
Wow. And you seem to obviously have it. Do you think that comes from your bicultural background as well, being raised with 2 cultures? I say that because obviously I was very fortunate early on to come to the U.S. and be very attracted with this American way of life from a French perspective. And the two together is a great win, but better than the parts themselves. Is it the same with you?
Yeah, I would say that I very much had an immigrant story. My parents came to the U.S. My dad came to Chicago in the late 60s. My mom came over right afterwards. And growing up in Chicago as an Ecuadorian American family, my dad was going to college, working to put, you know, food on the table. And then also, you know, us kind of witnessing that and seeing their struggle. And I think, you know, and also kind of becoming, you know, American, really trying to adapt to the American culture while still maintaining my Latin roots that I had at home.
Well, it's so well said. And so tell us, maybe not to digress from the food you're going to be preparing, because today is feast day for all of us, thanks to you. You're going to show us how to do something amazing. How is it to be having Latin roots in America? And which obviously I'm the same, because the French have Latin roots in many ways. And how is it a benefit as well, if you could develop that a little bit?
Wow, yeah. Well, you know, I think, you know, especially nowadays, it's a very, it's a hot topic, certainly to be Latin and certainly the immigrant story. I've lived it, you know, I lived it in a place, started in Chicago, where there is a lot of racial divide and all these things, these kind of things that exist. We're still, you know, as a country, still working on. And I think that I maybe faced some of that or witnessed some adversity as it related to those things. But I, you know, I think in my mind, I use those as a catapult to help me really focus on my objectives, which were to become a great chef, to be an entrepreneur, to pursue my dreams and not let any of that outside interference.
That's great.
Derail me from where I wanted to go. And so I think, you know, if I could pass that message of hope and kind of inspiration on to people, that's one thing that, I'm really proud of.
Well, that's brilliant. And I want to raise my glass to you because you build as an entrepreneur in the food world, which we all know is not easy at all. You've built an amazing group of restaurants that you recently sold.
Yeah.
So cheers to you. I'll say one rule, as you know, is when we toast, we got to taste. And we got to look each other at the eye because if not, it's 7 years of bad food.
Oh, okay. We don't want that. Oh, fantastic.
That's so this is the JCB 21. So we brought to your attention, of course, a lovely wine from Burgundy that is a Chardonnay Pinot Association méthode champenoise with a very light dosage because as chefs, you don't like the dominance of sugar, I assume, in the wine too much. So we thought of balance, which is probably one of your major skills.
This is a very nicely balanced wine. And this is the first time I'm trying it. So I can really appreciate the acidity. I appreciate the fact that it does have an element of sweetness, but not too much. And I think it's going to go great with, I picked some tomatoes from my garden. And, you know, I'm going to make a very simple vinaigrette with some basil as well from the garden. So I think it'll go nicely with that.
We want to see that. But before you dive into the demonstration, Jose, tell us about your restaurant groups that you've created and how you started and why you decided to sell it.
Yeah. So I started in 2005 with one restaurant. It was called Amada. A dream restaurant, one that in culinary school, I wrote a business plan for it. And after about 10 years in the field, I decided, okay, I was ready to open my first restaurant.
Yeah.
That was Amada in Philadelphia. From that point, I had several concepts or ideas that were like brewing within me to put out there into the world. So I had a lot of good opportunity due to the success I'd had nationally. So I started growing my concepts. So anything from a fast casual taqueria, a bourbon and burger bar, a Argentinian steakhouse, a Japanese izakaya, a South American seafood and ceviche bar. These were just a few of the concepts that I was able to develop while I had the group, along with a full service catering company as well, and a foundation, which I also started, which helps the immigrant community of Philadelphia, mostly restaurant workers.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So it was
How did you get the time to make children in between all that?
Oh, God. They came actually early on, and I treasure them. They're my most... You know, they're my most, it's the achievement I'm most proud of because they are a reflection, I hope, of some of the goodness and that I've taught them. And hopefully, you know, hopefully they're good people that go out there into the world. So they're my crowning achievement in all of this time. But was happy to have grown the restaurant. But I had gotten the group to a certain level or point where I knew only one guy could take it to. And so I knew I kind of had a sense that I wanted to either get a capital partner or just you know move on. And so in 2018 I sold the group to an investment group out of Louisiana, Ballard Brands, and so they are working with the brands, are going to continue to develop them, and I've stayed on board as a small equity partner, but also will help them kind of continue to grow those brands. And then
of course,
this also allows me the freedom to do the many other aspects of food and beverage that I've wanted to do for a long time in my career, such as develop products, work on online video content, content in general, recipe content, and really, you know, create a focus on a personal brand as well, and have some fun with this. It's been a long ride, so I want to really enjoy my time in the business and pick some creative, fun projects to do.
Well, congratulations, because what a success. And you know, which is quite amazing as a chef, often they would multiply the same idea over and over again. And what you've done so well with Ameda and the others is the diversity of the food that you presented. And that's a great skill to be able to grow multiple restaurants which are not the same menu over and over again.
Well, you know, Jean-Charles, that would be boring, you know? And so I'm a food lover. I love to travel. I love to experience culture, and culture for me in many ways is food. And so being a student and continue to be a student of the food game, that's what's made it exciting for me. And that's what's kept me going in this business for over 25 years. And it's a journey. And that's again, what keeps it exciting for me is that you're always learning.
Yeah.
It's
very well said. I don't mean to interrupt, but you're right. We're always a student of life and a student of what we do. I always say to people, the more I taste wine, the less I know wine. Mm. Because you keep learning and adding new experiences to your palate and your senses. So I can relate to you.
Fantastic. No, I can tell by the portfolio of wines that you have. You too do not rest. You're creating and doing. And again, it's exciting to be here with you today and having this moment to get your wine knowledge.
We'll get your food knowledge. So on that note, I think you're the symbol of positive transformation, like the butterfly, which is on this label. You know, this is our Waddle Creek wine.
Okay.
That is our winery on the Sonoma side of California. So I'm going to finish my bubble, serve the Waddle Creek Chardonnay, and I think we should look at your first dish.
Okay.
What do you think? Because I know you've been in the garden this morning.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have the good fortune of having my lovely wife with me, so she's going to come over and take the camera, and I'll just kind of walk through our first dish. And it's really, I would say, sometimes, you know, simplicity is the most beautiful thing. And when you have great ingredients, it's really it's amazing. And actually, so these tomatoes, I have a townhouse in Philadelphia.
Wow.
And is, you know, in Philly, where a lot of the homes are kind of stacked living. And so I have a rooftop here that we planted on. And so I established a garden. Yeah. And it's just a small patch here that just has given me great fruit so far. So we have squash, herbs, tomatoes. And today I'm just going to highlight some of the beautiful Lancaster County heirloom tomatoes that we have here. So I'll grab this camera over here.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I have big memories in Lancaster. So this is Amish country. Huh?
Amish. Yeah, that's right. So here are the tomatoes. I just sliced them very nicely. Good quality Spanish olive oil, Arbequina olive oil.
Yeah, because not to interrupt you, Jose, because I am, of course, you have big experience in Spain as well.
Yes, yes. I cooked in Spain. I was in Marbella, coming out of culinary school at La Taberna del Alabardero.
Yeah.
And spent almost, a good amount of time learning there from other Spanish cooks. And that's where I learned Spanish culture as well as Spanish food.
Yes.
That's some basil here. I'm just going to put on here.
I like how you cut it very thinly.
Thank you. Thank
you. You don't get the whole leaf as you cut it, which is very gentle.
Yeah. And then I made a little cucumber, almost like a
like a cucumber dill sauce with some a little bit of caramelized onions, but just a little creamy nature to this thing. And yeah, it's again very simple. Nothing too crazy.
Nice and elegant. And during those days that are very hot, we want something as well refreshing and not too heavy.
Yeah, very, very light. I'm going to just take a little. So you see these, you know, when you have delicious tomatoes, and these are really meant to accompany our feature, which is coming up here. I cooked a delicious 28-day aged ribeye to go with our red. So here we go.
That looks stunning.
Delicious. And we're going to have it with the...
It makes me loco. Loco de placer.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah. Congratulations for how you've done it. So explain why the Chardonnay works actually very well with the tomato, which is not always easy. And I'm going to tell you my version that you didn't put any vinegar, which I think is very smart because vinegar balsamic is not easy with wine.
Yeah. So I didn't put any vinegar because I knew I was going to grab some acidity from the Chardonnay. I like the kind of, and the Chardonnay is on the lighter side. So it has a nice pairing with it, but the pop of the basil, a little of this creaminess from this like cucumber yogurt sauce, which is very similar to a kind of tzatziki Greek sauce, but gives it some creaminess. And I just think if I take a bite of the tomato and clear my palate, I'm able to appreciate the wine and the wine acidity, the alcohol that's there. It's mild, but is delicious. And then I'm ready to go back in for another bite.
And that's right. And I think you explained it so marvelously well. I'm so thrilled as well because you became an ambassador now. So you're going to teach all of us food and wine pairing.
I'm excited because we are also going to start two online series. So one are going to be is a webcast called Cooking Space. So that's going to be a 3 to 5 minute web series. And Cooking Space is the combination of mindfulness and awareness,
yes,
food and music. So these three things kind of coming together, and obviously wine. And so that's Cooking Space. I'm really looking forward to that. And then we're going to start our own online classes. I want to be just like you, Jean Charles. I want to go live. So yeah, I'm excited about
that. I can't wait to be live with you. So awesome. Before we move to the next dish, you're such an entrepreneur. You always think about the next idea. I can see that in your eyes and in your energy. How do you get that drive and how do you keep creating?
Wow. Well, you know, being in this business, you're always, when you're in the kitchen, you're always, and I wouldn't say forced, but you're always making decisions. You're always looking at how do you best create an experience for your guests that is memorable. And that's one thing that drives me. That what drives me is that looking at my guests and seeing their reaction to something that I've created for them. And so keeping that in mind, I apply that to all other aspects of food and beverage, whether it's on the catering side, whether it's on the restaurant side, whether it's in a fast casual environment. So that drive to get that guest experience to a heightened level is what drives me. And so thinking about where we're at right now in, you know, the current COVID environment and just our environment in general,
yes,
there are many folks that may think this is, you know, just not an opportune time. I view it as an opportunity to really think about how food is going to be consumed going forward in the future. How do we still continue to create these experiences given this environment? And I definitely have put a lot of thought into that. So I'm excited about what that looks like coming up.
And you see, obviously, people much more creating at home naturally and then following your network.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think home cooking, you know, while I've had many restaurants and appreciate people that dine out and enjoy that, I also feel like there's been a part of me that's always wanted to teach people to cook healthy and delicious meals at home, which I think is very, very possible, very doable for most people if they apply themselves and think about it and do it. So yeah, I think working on ways to get people the Jose Garces and Jean Charles experience in the home, something I'm thinking about.
Maravilloso. I sign up. So I know we have a wonderful red wine following this wine. So maybe you want to, we want to have a little toast with it. You want to describe it because you're the wine expert. And then tell us what you're going to be preparing with it.
Okay. So I'm going to give this a little.
So dear friends, we're having, for everybody's information, a wonderful Waddle Creek. As you could see, this is the Merlot, and this is a 2018 vintage. And Waddle Creek, again, the symbol and the icon of it is that beautiful butterfly, the monarch butterfly, one of the most beautiful, powerful, transformative little type of insect animal on earth that is a great inspiration for all of us as far as photosynthesis and what they do on pollinization in the flowers and in nature, because Jose has an organic farm as well, as I mentioned, and he's very big into the world of organic. So,
Wow. Amazing. You know, I'm getting a lot of plum. I'm getting some deep richness, but not too heavy. Still, you know, on the, call it on the lighter side, but a lot of body and character.
Chefs always know how to describe wine so well. I'm always impressed.
It is fantastic. And so what I've made for you today is I roasted a 24-ounce, 30-day age, dry-aged ribeye, and I made a Waddle Creek Merlot mushroom sauce with it. Ooh. So I have my stove here.
Ooh la la. That's going to be feast at the Garces house tonight.
Oh, yeah. So this thing...
Well, probably like that every night, I would imagine.
Oh, we do our best. So I've got my mushroom sauce. I roasted this guy. It is just looking gorgeous. I got a chunk of the beef fat in here that I also use to sweat down to cook the mushrooms, garlic, some of the rosemary and thyme from the garden.
And what kind of mushroom did you select there?
So these are just cremini mushrooms, local mushrooms. We have a mushroom town here called Kennett Square in Pennsylvania. So this, I cooked it to kind of a medium rare to medium. I'm going to bring it over.
This looks incredible, Chef.
Yeah, we're going to slice it up. I'll bring it off this, take it off the bone here.
Ooh. You mentioned 28 days age meat. That's the kind of length of time you love?
I like that for character. It just adds a certain level of funk, kind of, you know, almost just a little bit of mold to it. And I do like that time. So this is a nice medium rare. Ooh, look at that.
Dinner is on its way for us, so I cannot wait. Okay. We only 6 hours flight from one another, so we can make it work.
Please come. Come and enjoy the beauty of Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. And I will definitely come see you. You can be rest assured for that.
Well, we cannot wait. So, Chef, you won a James Beard Award. Very big deal. 3 years in a row. Tell us a little bit about this and what it brought to your life and another dimension to your business.
Yeah, so the James Beard Awards are what they call the Oscars of the food industry. And it was quite an occasion. I was nominated
I'll tell you a quick story. So I was nominated 2 years in a row. And then the second year that I got nominated, I thought I was going to win. Right. And I brought all my friends and my family to New York. It was at Lincoln Center, the awards. I was so excited. I rented a party bus, and the Mid-Atlantic Award comes up and I lose. I don't win. And we all got on the bus, and we were all so, it was just such an anticlimactic thing. And it was, and it was a lesson.
Because they never tell you that you're winning unless, you know.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't know. I just thought, you know, hey, I'm on such a good roll. This is so. So the next year, in 2009, I get nominated again for the third time, and I'm battling in Tokyo for Iron Chef, and with the time difference, I get a call. And I was unable at that point to go to the awards because I was in Tokyo, and I get a call at 6 a.m. Hey, Jose. You won the Iron Chef. You won the James Beard Award. And I, you know, it was a moment I was so proud of, but I think I was just also so tired. I'm like, oh God, okay. All right. So yeah.
Well, you were already on the bus the year before. So you've already did the party.
I already did the partying. That's right.
But very cool. Well, congratulations. And it changes your life in many ways, doesn't it? I mean, that's the biggest award of all time.
It does. I'm going to flip the camera. Here we go. All right.
So you want to show us that beautiful meat as you're talking, because this is quite something.
This is, so I rubbed some olive oil, a little bit of rosemary, thyme. I kind of rub it in there. I let it marinate for at least an hour. If you go longer, it's going to penetrate a little bit more, but I'm also don't want to take away from that age process and that kind of that, you know, I hate to use the term mold, but it does have like a very pleasant mold in, you know, right?
So we love it in cheese. We love it in mushrooms, and we certainly love it in wine.
That's right. So, and then I just roasted it in the cast iron pan, pulled it out. I made this mushroom sauce with the Walla Creek Merlot wine. And I'm going to just try a little piece.
Please do. Keep making us jealous. Envious.
Oh. Wow. So delicious. And I'm going to finish it with my wine here.
So, Jose, on this, what is your passion besides cooking? Because obviously, we could feel through your energy and your expression that cooking is your life. But is there another passion you want to share?
Yeah, one of my biggest passions is sitting right across from me, my lovely wife here.
Aww.
She's an amazing lady, and she gets me going, you know, most days. Knows when to pick me up when I'm down and when to cheer me on when things are good. So she's an incredible person. So big part of my life. So, honey.
Oh, thanks, honey.
That's great. Now, is there a dream, Jose? You've done so much in a short period of time, obviously. You're younger than I am, and you're not even yet 50. You're not even half a century and you've achieved all that. So what is your dream?
Wow. You know, I feel like I've been very fortunate, and I've accomplished so much that I wanted to in my career. But I have a simple dream that's, you know, at some point a inn or a B&B on the coast with a beautiful view, with a beautiful restaurant, and living out my days at some point in that sort of setting. So, you know, I'm an urban person. I've lived in Philadelphia and New York and grew up in Chicago. So that's the next goal.
That's fantastic. And maybe tell us a little bit about your charity and all the things you're doing for the community, because you're one of those chefs, again, very, very active with all the people around you.
Sure. So we started the Garces Foundation 8 years ago, and it really was It was a butcher who worked for me. He inspired us to start it. He worked for me for a few years, and he came to us. He called out a few days and then of work, and then kind of disappeared. And I was like, his name was Felipe Lopez, and I just loved this kid. He was such a hard worker. Really cared and was passionate about his craft, was an amazing butcher. And, you know, I checked back in with him. I actually went and sought him out, and he was pretty sick. And I said, what happened? Why didn't you let us know? Like, what's going on? And he said, well, Jose, I was afraid to tell you guys, but, I didn't go to the doctor because I thought I was going to get deported, or I thought, you know, that I was going to get, you know, who knows? He just was afraid to come forward to get medical assistance. So, and he unfortunately passed. He had cancer and was unable to recover from right. just not checking in. Had he checked in earlier, he might have been saved. So we started a program for, you know, really restaurant workers or immigrants who need additional healthcare coverage, or we also have a job force training, literacy through job force training. So teaching people how to speak and communicate so that they can ascend in the community. So we have community health days and these educational programs, and those are our two core programs that we run. And we have about 100 to 150 students per semester. And so, during this COVID pandemic, as you know, restaurants have been closed for many months now. So this group was also kind of left out in the cold. So we started a food pantry program. So we're doing boxes of food that will feed a family of four for a week for free. So we give away about 200 boxes, which is about 800 meals a week. We've been doing that for the last 3 months. That's all through the Garces Foundation.
Congratulations. This is so commending.
Thank you.
And what an emotional story, and shows us that there's still a lot to be done in this field and to make people feel comfortable to talk and open up and you know, seek for help and ask for help.
That's right.
So, Jose, you're full of unbelievable message. And I want to thank you so much for being the man you are, with your beautiful wife today, for having been part of our little show and being part now of my extended family as an ambassador too. So we all winning so much because we're going to have a lot of fun together.
Fantastic. Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here. It's been a pleasure to be on with you, Jean-Charles. Thank you. And look forward to being one of your ambassadors.
Absolutely. And maybe, Jose, one last message. And I know you've sent so many great ones all along, but is there a few words you want to share to the world in general as a great message for the world at large?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think that we all need to believe that, you know, things will get better, and that we are, you know, united, we're much stronger and better group than we are divided. And so let's get united, let's stay united, and let's move forward. You know, that's it. Let's put everything behind us and keep progressing.
I love it. That's very positive, that's present progressive, and that's so much rhythm and great cadence that you inspire us to follow. So, Jose, thank you immensely to your continued success, and a great meal for you tonight. Our meal will be a little more humble, but we'll think of you and we'll drink together soon.
Salud.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Muchísimas gracias.
Gracias.